Why, hello there. Today is Wednesday, March the 8th of 2023. How are you doing out there? Boy, I thank God for small favors this morning. How about each and every one of you out there? Isn't he a marvelous God, an awesome God, a loving God, and always there? You can always depend on God because he is always with you. Well, hello. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the show is called A Voice of a People. We are live right now on WGH Talk. Also, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, computers, and even Chromebooks, like which I have. The name of the app is called TuneIn, and it is free. Now, when you download it, there's a box that says Search. On that box, please type in WWGH. Or you can call in during a live broadcast, which I know many of you have not gotten the nerve to call in yet, but we still anticipate a call every now and then. If you would like to connect with my guest today or with myself, you know, please call 740-383-9944. Okay, I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, and that is starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson's Leadership, of 582 Leet Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, Free Produce, will take place April the 15th of 2023. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars. Share this information with your loved ones and friends, and that they may be able to take advantage of this opportunity. Last but not least, we have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator of Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs. And these clubs take place in your elementary school, faith-based program, okay, and they take place in every elementary school in Marion, Ohio, Marion County, and North Union counties. So if you're interested in your child being a part of that program, please call Cheryl Lee at 740-262-0939, or go to your elementary schools where your children or grandchildren may attend, and there is a form for you to fill out, because it has to be by parental approval. So, and thank you for those of you who listen faithfully to A Voice of a People. Thank you for your support. And if it's your first time, I pray it will not be your last time. Now, I like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Defeating Bad Habits. Some bad habits are like tyrants. They crowd the head and heart so strongly that under no circumstances do they wish to move. They have enjoyed their undisputed reign over us and will not depart easily. To defeat them, it's important to keep practicing the silence of introspective and to connect to the eternal reservoir of benevolent energy. Wow, that was
a mouthful,
wasn't it? Oh my gosh. To defeat them, it's important to keep practicing the silence of introspective and to connect to the eternal reservoir of benevolent energy. Wow.
Wow.
Let us download that today.
Yeah, it's back to college, huh?
The voice you hear in the background is my guest today, Jeff Porter. We thank God that he got Jeff in this office today.
All right.
Yes. Give God a shout of praise, and we're glad to see Jeff. Because all of us are struggling with something, aren't we, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yes.
So not this bad, I hope.
Well, some may be worse.
Ooh, I hope not.
Some may be worse, you know. They say never think that you other, what's happening to you is worse than somebody else, because there's always somebody else worse off than us, and always somebody else doing better than us, you know. So we're going
to do better.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to keep that. We're going to fight the good fight of faith today.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, how have you been?
Could be better.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But we thank God that you're here.
I'm still alive.
Amen. You're here. Absolutely. You are here. did you come with anything on your heart today?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Did you want to talk about yours first, or?
It doesn't matter. I mean, we're doing two shows.
Oh. Well, you know, this morning I my head was rattling with, I was talking to a TV preacher and in my dreams.
Really?
Yeah. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, Jesus said, narrow is the gate, straight is the way, few there shall be that find it.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to eternal life. Wide is the gate, and open and broad is the way to eternal destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now us, those who are born again, us Christians, we know this, but we don't think about it very often. But untold millions of people choose to go the wrong way. And we're talking about millions. And they would rather spend eternity in the lake of fire than take Jesus, the truth, into their heart and be born again into the kingdom of God. And you sit there and you look, you know, you look at yourself in the mirror and go, why would they do such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm.
But we don't have the answer to that, because I suppose everybody has their individual reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I don't, they don't really comprehend that it's eternity.
Mm.
Absolute eternity, and once you get there, there's no hope of recovery. That is very, very awful.
Right, right.
So what we do is, and you know, they call us names and they don't like us and stuff because they hate the truth and all that good stuff.
And these are born again Christians you're talking about in reference to, right?
No, I'm referencing to the unsaved world.
Unsaved world, okay.
But I think born again Christians know this.
Okay.
You know, if they don't, they should. And God has chosen us to be his hands and feet, his arms and legs, to get that word out to people. Now, all we can do is get the word to them. We can't force anybody, and I don't want to force anybody, to come to the Lord and accept Jesus into their hearts, so they don't have to spend eternity in the wrong place. You know.
Right.
So, Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed once in a man to die, and then the judgment. And, you know, when a born-again Christian dies, there we are with our friend, the Lord.
Right.
I don't know what it's like for an unsaved person. I wouldn't want to know. But, he has his book of life there. If your name is not written in the book of life, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's not a good place to be. And you know, how many times have you witnessed to somebody or said something about the Lord to somebody, and they give you I don't know how to explain it, this attitude of theirs, you know. Oh, I've studied sociology and all that, and I don't really need all that, you know. My question to them is, what are you going to do with the sin?
Mm.
You know.
Right, right. And they don't know what they're going to do with it. They have no clue.
Well, they don't believe that there is such a thing.
Right. They don't believe that there is sin. They don't think that they've ever done anything wrong. They're okay. They're good people.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe they took in a homeless person once and fed them some soup or something, and now they're wonderful, you know. And so we're saved by believing, by accepting Jesus into our hearts and being born again. And their protest is that they don't want somebody else controlling them. They want to, you know, live their own life and so on. But we're talking about millions of people going to...
I get it. Go ahead.
We're talking about millions of people going to hell. You know, if you can wrap your head around that. That is... Oh, okay, thank you. Feeling sorry for me?
No, I mean, I did that for whoever may come in. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's cold out there. You get in here, nose run, eyes run, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's...
And we, a lot of times, we're not thinking about eternity.
Right.
And they are on their way to the wrong one. Might have a neighbor that's, you've never mentioned Christ to them, you know.
Right.
Maybe it's because they're so difficult to get along with, I don't know, but...
You ever run across one of those type of people that say, every time I see you, that's all you talk about? You never talk about how you doing, good morning, you know, good afternoon, what you been doing, how's your family. You always want to talk about God. Have you ever run across anybody like that?
I probably have.
Like, you don't have nothing else to talk about but God, you know. Did you feel like that when you were atheist?
My philosophy as an atheist was, you believe whatever you want to, just let me believe whatever I want to.
Right, right.
You know? And don't be preaching at me.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, really. Once in a while, they would say something about God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, some people, you know, they have the attitude that if they could, they'd have you up the altar with a gun to your head, you know.
Right.
Which most Christians don't have that kind of attitude.
Well, I think with what I've heard from you so far, that you've kind of come with the same thing I want to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
Now I want you to finish, because this is all a part of spiritual ignorance.
Go ahead.
Well, I can blend it in with what you're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, like you're talking about people who don't believe they need to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin, but you're not all in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for that moment, because you have to be all in at that moment for Him to receive you, right?
For you to receive Him.
For you to receive Him. And it's like a total surrender at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that mind-boggling? Because at that moment, you've surrendered everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, I receive the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I receive Him as my Lord and Savior from sin, you have surrendered everything for that moment. But it's like, once you walk away from that, then you pick up a lot of other things that you lay down at that particular moment, and you walk away with
them. Then you pick it back up again. Well, yeah, most everybody does that.
Right, because of the spiritual ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
what do you mean by that?
This is something God shared with me yesterday, okay? Now, what is the meaning of spiritual ignorance? He described spiritual ignorance as a lack of knowledge of how the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man, and the Spirit of the devil relate and play out. noting that the most dangerous of every type of ignorance is that it keeps one in the dark of the devices of the devil and the spiritual dimension of life and events.
We're not ignorant of Satan's devices.
God says, be not ignorant of his devices. And when you once get saved, you are ignorant of his devices, because when you walk away, I'm just, my experience, mm-hmm. maybe someone else's experience was different. I think that a lot of churches do have classes, and they bring you in once you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin, and they begin to teach you what it's about.
Discipleship classes.
Discipleship classes. And they are immediate.
Mm-hmm. They should be. That's
right,
a good thing.
Right. But a lot of churches do not. You're just left on your own.
Anymore. There's very few.
You're left on your own.
Yeah.
So now what do I do? Now I receive Christ as my Savior, but all the enemy is sitting around. He's waiting to devour me, right? At mm-hmm. any given moment. And I really don't have the foundation to uphold me.
Mm-hmm.
Or to sustain me. Even though I've received Christ.
That's a very bad thing, not giving people any discipleship classes. Because everything I learned, I had to learn on my own. But I didn't go to church either. You know, I wasn't in church. So I decided I didn't trust them. So the guy I was running around with on the streets, Spike, and I, we just kind of bounced things back and forth and read parts of the Bible, and I don't know how we did that. The Holy Spirit must have done it.
Because when you talk about a lack of knowledge and some of the things that you had on your heart when you came here,
mm-hmm.
it kind of relates. Whether you have not received Christ as your Savior from sin or whether you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the enemy is still there.
Yep. And he's going to take advantage of everything.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the Lord shared with me yesterday was Luke 22. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you that I enjoy listening to your program. But last week, your interview with Glenn Coble.
Yes.
That used to be on the air. I was very upset with the remarks that he made. And I asked that nobody should give him any airtime again. When he says, I guarantee there's no God. I thought that was a terrible statement to make, especially on your time, and I wish that you would have just cut him off right there.
Well, I thank you for your comments, and I thank you for listening to my show very much. Thank you for that.
But I might have his exact statement wrong, because I was so infuriated when he made that statement. I just couldn't believe that he said that.
Right.
And especially on your program. I mean, I'm really sorry that he did say that, but I wish you would have just cut him off and said goodbye to him.
Yeah, he was here live, too, you know.
Yes. Yes. And but I enjoyed listening to you, and I just I felt really bad for you at the time when he made that statement.
Oh, well, I didn't feel bad. He's not rejecting me. He's rejecting God, you know, so.
Right, but, I mean, I was very upset. Anyway, thank you.
And thank you, and I pray you continue to listen to my show. Thank you so much. God bless.
Well, what do you know? We got a call.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah, Jeff, where was we at?
You wanted to go to Luke 22?
Yes. I think it's a couple verses before the Lord tells Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat.
Huh?
The Lord tells Peter that the enemy desires to sift him as wheat.
Oh, yeah.
A couple verses before that.
That's what he's doing to me.
Well, he does it to all of us. I mean, none of us are beyond that.
Yeah, but I'm really messed up.
You're just going through some health issues right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do seem to come out of them, don't I?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
The Lord's healed me of a lot of stuff.
Yes, he has. And he hasn't stopped either.
No, he reminded me that this morning.
See there?
The lady that does, it's got several different, you know, the Christian radio station in Sandusky, Upper Sandusky. Her last name used to be Hightower. I think she got married.
Oh, Vicky.
Yeah. She said she was in a dilemma a while back where she was in a really bad storm, and she just had to get on her knees and say, God, I don't have the slightest idea what to do.
Right.
And he straightened it out.
Yes, he does.
He does do that. And I felt a touch from the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So, I think a friend of mine at church was asking for God to show him some guidance as to what he was supposed to be doing. And I thought that was kind of different for him, because he's been in a position in the church that has been quite established there. And I think, and I was hoping that he would sometime leave that position, because I think there's more to him than that, you know, and so there might be some hope there. I think there is. What are we looking for?
Well, I don't have my Bible, so I'm on Google, so let me look for it this way. And I know it's in Luke 22. But when I looked through Luke, I did not see exactly what I'm talking about. But I know it's the verse where the Lord tells Peter, well, the Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I know you remember that verse. I know you've heard it before. Right?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where it is, though.
Well, we're going to find it. And not only that, bring back to my remembrance what you said earlier when you opened up the show, while I'm looking for this.
I was talking about how millions of people are choosing the wrong way. You know, wrap that around your head for a minute. Millions. Millions of people going to the lake of fire for eternity. There are people dying right now and end up in hell, you know.
Right.
Some of them, it is because of ignorance. I think it's because they choose to be ignorant. But they think they're saved. You know.
Right.
And they've read maybe some false gospel, the Aquarian Gospel of Christ, something that has Christ in it, for instance, or like the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
They appear to be Christian.
Right.
So the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know.
Right, they do.
But you don't have this thing happening in your heart, so you're not asking for forgiveness for your sins and asking Jesus to come in and live there. And they tell their people, the Mormons tell people, no, stay away from that born-again stuff, you know?
Right. Now, this verse, it is, you're in the right chapter, right? Yes. Go to verse 28. 28, 29, 30, 31, 32... Yeah, we're gonna break this down today. Lord bless, say the same. This will take us into the next hour.
Ah, here it is. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed.
Wait a minute. Start at verse 29.
Verse 29?
Yeah, start there.
And I bestowed upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed upon one upon me, that you may eat and drink with my at my table in my kingdom and sit on my thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
31.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. And just a second, let the sirens go by.
You can't out talk them sirens.
Crazy.
You don't have time to listen. We have to keep going. Behold. And the
okay.
Lord said, Simon, Simon.
Simon, Simon, indeed Satan asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail.
Now stop there. Put a marker in there and go to Job chapter 1.
Okay.
And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, he's saying, Jeff, Jeff, he's saying, Linda, Linda, he's saying, put your name in there, whoever you may be that are listening. And when you share this information with someone else, have them put their name in there. And the Lord said, behold, behold means pay attention, set your eyes on, your ears on what I'm saying, and open up your eyes that you may see and understand that Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
Hope I make a good breakfast.
Oh, no. You don't want to make a good breakfast to him. Of course not. Is that your phone?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. It happens. We're looking at Job while Jeff is getting that. Let me set the background for this. Okay. This was now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover.
What chapter?
Job chapter 1.
Oh.
And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surname Iscariot, being in the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where will thou that we prepare it? Where shall we go to prepare it, right? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enter in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So this is at the time they are in the upper room eating the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus Christ before he was betrayed by Judas. Mm. So you have Job.
Yeah.
Do you have the verse where, well, you can start reading it because I didn't write down where it starts. Go ahead. Start
Job 1:1.
Yeah, read 1 till you come to the part where
there was a man in the land of Uz.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born unto him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his son would go and feast and in their houses, and each one in his own appointed day, and would send and invite them, their 3 sisters, to eat and drink with them. So it was that when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. When I was a kid, I thought Job was Job.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did. Not only that, now Job was a born-again believer?
He was a believer in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Under the Old Testament rules.
Okay. So he believed in God and he trusted God, you know.
Right, and that was given to him as righteousness.
Okay.
Shall I go on?
Yes, go ahead.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered and said to the Lord, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered and said to the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, also his household, and that all that was ever on his every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hands on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord.
Okay, that's it right there. Now, when you go back to Luke 22,
mm-hmm.
Satan asked God from all of us. He asked him, you know, our faith is tested.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yes.
Whether you're saved or unsaved, because God has given every man a measure of faith. Now, is that what the word says?
Yes.
So every man has received a measure. Now, it doesn't say how big that measure is or if we all have the same measure of faith. And that could be true, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends whether you want to cultivate your faith or just like some people walk around and say that they don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're spiritual ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us are omitted from the enemy, Satan, coming after us.
Right.
Because God has allowed this to happen. How often it happens, or if it's going to happen, or when it's going to happen, eventually one day it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about Simon, Peter.
Yeah.
Let me get back with you. Look, what kind of man do you think Simon Peter was?
He was a good one. He had a bad temper. He was short on patience, is what it was. You know, he just didn't have enough patience sometimes. But I think he made a good disciple, though. He made a very good one.
Well, he was kind of, to me, I may be wrong.
Rash.
He was kind of like Paul in a way. He was bold. Peter didn't really succumb to anyone. He was a bold disciple because some of the things that he said, he was convinced within himself that he was what he needed to be a follower of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go on down to, now read 32, 20, 22, 32. Are you back in Luke?
Yeah.
Okay. Go down to verse. Okay, go back to 31.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat.
Okay, 32.
But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
How powerful is that?
Mm-hmm.
And also this, he shared this with me too. When we're tried like that, it's like God's hands is off us.
Yeah, we think he's abandoned us.
Yeah, his hands is off us because he's allowing the enemy to test our faith.
Mm-hmm.
For that, whatever, however long that time slot is, it's sort of like God is just watching over us, but his hands is not on us. I thought, oh my.
Well.
And we're just there with our faith.
We think he's abandoned us. He hasn't.
But that was the condition.
Mm-hmm.
That is a condition. That's why he said, do what you want to do to Job, just don't take his life.
Yeah, that's true.
So in a way, it's like, okay, he's just sitting back watching and listening and see how we're going to deal with this and about, you know, how strong our faith is. Will our faith get stirred up, you know, or will you just let the enemy wash all over you? And how long will you allow that to happen? Because he's given each and every one of us a measure of faith.
We could just tell him to take off, huh?
I think, is that part of our faith? Authority?
Sometimes we can rebuke Satan like that. Sometimes we can't. I don't understand it, but that's the way it is, it seems like to me.
Now, you know, when we read in Jude, he said even Michael, the archangel, gave Satan his respect. By saying, the Lord rebuke thee, not I rebuke thee.
Right, we don't have the...
Right, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Yes, yes. And that's also in Zechariah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I think that's is either chapter 2, 1 and 3 or chapter 3, 1 and 2. But he was talking about Joshua was in the bloody clothes. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. But the spiritual ignorance, I think it plays a big part in us being sifted as wheat. Because when you first get saved, and maybe you've been saved a long time, but you still fail to understand. Let me go back here. The functioning of God, the Holy Spirit, and the devil's spirit. We don't know how that works. We don't know at first that we may be taken away by the enemy.
Now, I know the Lord spoke to me about my suffering lately, and he said, I'm teaching you patience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no other way to do it. Because it has been really, really bad. So I try not to complain too much. But, you know, when you're going through it, you don't want to go through it.
Okay. Let me correct myself. Spiritual ignorance is a lack of knowledge of how the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man, and the Spirit of the devil relate and play out. So all these spirits are taking place in us, right? All three. Your spirit, God's spirit, and the enemy spirit. So when you first get saved, are you aware of that?
I don't, you know, I didn't really believe in, I thought when you got saved, you've got everything you need. I didn't really believe in Christian growth or anything like that. It took a long time for me to understand that we do have to grow, you know, because we, so many Christians are just so immature. And that's one of the reasons why the prosperity doctrine started taking over. And I'm wondering how far along it is now. It seems to, Trinity Broadcasting seems to be getting rid of it, which is a great, great thing. But I don't know. I still think we have a lot of growing to do yet. Much more. Me too.
Of course. We will not stop growing until we leave this earth.
That's right.
You know, we're going to evolve.
I'm glad for that, though.
Yeah, me too.
Because I want to learn more. I don't want to stay where I'm at.
Right. And none of us should want that. None of us should want that. Okay, what is the meaning of ignorance according to the Bible? A privation of the knowledge that perfects reason. And reason prevents a sinful act insofar as it directs human acts. So when you talk about people who have not received Christ as their Savior, they're walking around on the earth and they're choosing to go to hell and not even realizing that it's the choice that they're making, right?
Right.
Because they don't understand how it works.
No.
The spirit of God, the spirit of man, and the spirit of the enemy. You don't understand that. All three forces are at work.
Most of them believe it works.
There you go. They do.
You know, of some sort.
Right. They do. They do believe it works.
That's why I think a lot of times we don't get a lot of calls, because true Christianity holds you responsible for your actions, you know, and for what you believe. And people don't want that. They don't want some, especially these days, they want things to be easy.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think we all do.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
True. Very, very true. But that's not the way to heaven.
Well, you know what? We have gone through the first hour, Jeff. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your call. We really appreciate that. Stay tuned for the next hour. We will continue the discussion of spiritual ignorance. This is Linda Sims, and right now, Jeff Porter, my guest here on WGH Talk Live, and also streaming live on Facebook. If you go to my page, Linda Sims, you will be able to see Jeff Porter Live on there. You won't see my picture. We don't have a two-way camera yet, but pray for us. We should be getting that in the future. But if you'd like to make any comments, there's a comment section, and I will be taking note of that shortly. Till next time, be blessed. 11:15. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.